morning, COVID Nom, and all the listeners to the Power Hour Nation, going from sea to sea and from the shores to the shores beyond the shores, all around the world, compliments of some acceptable technology and good old-fashioned radio technology. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Freund. With us is Paul Hellyer, former Canadian defense minister, avant-garde thinker, speaker, all-round decent guy, and one of the few people in the British system that have a title honorable attached to their name that actually merit it and deserve it. And so that makes him one of my all-time favorites. You hear that sound? You hear that sound, son? That's freedom. I love to wake up to the sound of freedom in the morning. It sounds like victory. And there's no greater victory than cavalry, and there's no greater cavalry than the Power Hour cavalry. We're forming posse, and we're going to go into some of the deep, dark recesses of human mystery. Mystery to you, but advanced knowledge to our guest, Paul Hellyer. His latest book, Liberation, delves into some of the strategic mysteries. The banks, the institutions, the organizations, the things that go bump in the night, and you're getting it from an insider, very, very intelligent insider with daring to actually talk about many of these things. It's a history of the intelligence agencies, a history of war, a history of money and banking and how it's created, and how the whole human race is subservient because some people have mastery of this knowledge to control us, and most of the rest of us don't. I remember a long time ago when I sort of believed in the system. I knew something was wrong, but I just couldn't put my finger on it. And fate dealt me a new hand. There was an election on. I couldn't vote for any of the traditional parties because I couldn't hold my nose that long. And I saw an election sign. And Paul Hellyer was running for public office with a fringe party called the Canadian Action Party. So my colleague at the time figured we got to find out who this guy is and where he is. So we found out. We went to his campaign office, scared some of his staff a little bit because we were working as armed guards at the time. Paul stood up, put out his hand. We walked into his office. I shook his hand. We talked about politics, and right away I knew I just found a jewel that I could vote for, joined the party right away, participated in a lot of things, including the Magic Weekend, where Paul taught me money, banking, and Connie Fogel, free trade. And I came out of there with smoke coming out of my ears because somebody gave me the keys to the store, and I knew the game. And Paul has devoted his life to teaching us and helping us to compete in this unlevel playing field. Welcome, Paul, and thank you for all you have done in your long, long life. He's 97 years young, my friends, 97 years young, and we're glad to have you around.
Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for your kind words. It's nice to be with you.
Oh, indeed, Paul. You know, I've come across a lot of the material in your book before and other things, but this is like a nice, concise, dedicated testament to what we face. And a lot of us at Power Hour Nation have known about the Fed and, to some degree, the creation of money. That's been a mainstay on the show. But one I'd forgotten about, and it was a good reminder to see it in there, was the Bank of International Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. And I came across that late at night at a journey in a library at U of T, going through the reference stacks, and what's that? Didn't know, didn't understand exactly.
It's interesting, isn't it? I have a whole chapter in both that book and the one previously on the Bank for International Settlements, and it, I am told, runs the world in a way. And I would say that 98% of my friends have never heard of it. So it's a very, very important institution. It is controlled by the banking cartel, more specifically the Rothschilds and their cohorts, I guess the Rockefellers and others. And they're the sort of the foundation of a system that is so evil that it's hard to describe. And that is that private banks create money out of nothing and then lend it to poor people like us and the and our governments and want it back with interest. And so we keep going further and further into debt. So instead of creating some of our own money, which is what we should be doing, because we, the people, own the patent. It's ours. It is our heritage because it comes down from the sovereign, and we are sovereign in that respect, and we have control of our money, theoretically, and we have voluntarily handed that over to a handful of people who, in effect, have no money to lend, but still lend what they call money. It's just virtual money, actually, against their credit. And they do it in huge, huge numbers. I mean, like hundreds of thousands, billions, trillions, and get away with it. So that, would you believe that, I think it was about 6 or 8 years ago, 82 families had as much wealth as all of the rest of the people in the whole world. A year or two later, that had dropped to 80, and then the last tally I've seen, 62 families have as much wealth as all of the rest of us around the whole world. And frankly, I can't even get my mind around that. That's so much. It's so big. It's so many multiple trillions that it's almost beyond imagination. And that's the system that we've got, and it's absolutely just, you know, terribly stupid. And why we should put up with it, I do not know. I've got a little quote here that I have in one of my books. The money is the gasoline that fires the economic engine. To give private corporations a monopoly to create money is total insanity. To let them create all that money as debt that has to be repaid with interest goes beyond total insanity, if that is possible. It is a crime against humanity. And that's what I believe.
Well, I believe you're very, very right that it's a crime against humanity. We're in a debt bondage system that is so expansive. You know, even though I know about it, when you look at the numbers, and you quoted some numbers that blew me away about Canada's national debt and how much interest we paid from what, about 1974-75 to 2010-11, $1.1 trillion just in the interest on the debt, which has never been paid. Like, as far as principal is concerned, we just keep paying this interest on the debt. And I'm sure in the 10 years past that, it's even more. And
the crime is that it wasn't necessary. Before that, we had a workable system. In 1938, there were no jobs in Canada. 1939, the war came along. And pretty soon, unemployment dropped from a huge number to about 1%, the lowest in history. And everyone was busy building armaments or building factories or serving in the armed forces. And we built the fourth largest navy in the system. And we did far more than our part in World War II. And then after the war, we built the Trans-Canada Highway, our share of the St. Lawrence Seaway, the Great Dew Line, which is the distant early warning line, a series of radars that goes right around the country, and it's very expensive. And we paid for that all ourselves and more to help the provinces and municipalities and didn't accumulate any debt. Well, then in 1974, our governor of the Bank of Canada decided that he should go with the latest vision of one world economy, everybody being marching to the same drummer. And he put us in the position where we were taking our orders from the bank for international settlements. And pretty soon, one of the rules that they set was that our central bank, which thanks to Prime Minister William Lyon Mackenzie King, is 100% owned by the people of this country, that we put ourselves in the position where that bank could no longer lend money to us at very low interest rates, near zero interest rates, which it had done from 1938 right through until 1974. And that cost us all of that money that you were just talking about in interest, and it's still going on. With this latest problem of the lockdown and the COVID-19, it has loosened, the bank has loosened up a bit, but just exactly what it's doing is hard to say, but it's still debt. And whether it's near zero debt now or not, it has to be repaid. And the Bank for International Settlements is in the position that at some point it could start pushing interest rates back up again. And then our poor people who have gone through this horrible year and who have, as a result, increased our overall debt very, very substantially and more to come, will have their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, in my case, paying interest on that forever with no way to pay it off. So the reason I wrote this latest book is because I could see what was going to happen as a result of a pandemic. There was going to be what we call another meltdown. We'd had one in the 1930s, the Great Depression. We held another one in 2007 and 8. Was like the Great Depression, was deliberately created by the New York banks. And with all of the problems that was created, poverty like you've never seen during the 1930s. And I remember it well. I've been around for a long while, and I'm a child of the Depression. And so all of this was artificial, and we went along with it, and we're still in it for the long haul. And so when this pandemic came along, I said, they're going to crash the system again, which they have, and we're going to wind up further and further in debt, which is what some people wanted. And then our progeny are going to be faced with the problem of digging themselves out from under when, under the present system, there's no way to do it. And what my book is about is that this is the way to do it. Governments have got to start creating a certain proportion of the money. And the formula, with some former colleagues of mine, and I developed about 8 years ago, was that whereas the banks now, believe it or not, most people would find it difficult to believe, they have no cash reserves in their banks against your deposits. So if more than a few people went in to ask for their money back, it isn't there. It doesn't exist. It's just virtual, like everything is these days. And so if we want to reestablish control, we should reestablish what they call cash reserves for those deposits. And our formula was that we should have 34% cash reserves, and that this system should be put into effect over a period of 7 years. And so we sent this to the government of the day, and they didn't even bother to respond, you know. And what it meant for the Canadian people was $150 billion a year for 7 years. And this would be split between the federal government and the provinces, and it would have been enough to catch up and to do all of the things that we're talking about now, of having better facilities for the aged and better medical facilities and all of the things where we're behind the times due to this kind of economics we've been living through, as austerity economics, which was not necessary. And we could do that for 7 years so that the provinces and the federal government, but especially the provinces, could start doing their infrastructure that has fallen back so far. And cities like Toronto, for example, could have some decent transportation systems and know that they'd be able to pay for it because the money was coming in consistently over a seven-year period. Then at the end of the 7 years, of the money that's created each year, 34% of it would go to the government, which would divide it up. And I have now changed my mind about the formula. It should be 50% to the federal government, 25% to the provinces, and 25% to the municipalities, simply because politics is politics, and some of the provincial premiers don't like the mayors of the bigger cities. And so you get around that by giving the municipalities 25% of the money so that they can make their plans without having to get approval from either the provincial or federal government, and get on with the job of providing us with a decent sort of infrastructure for our hospitals and for our old folks' homes and all of the other things that have been neglected for so long. So that was turned down by the government because they didn't even pay attention. Then it was presented to the present government, and they didn't even acknowledge it. And when this present crisis came along, I said, now is the time. Now is the time to bite the bullet, to put this into effect, both in Canada, or maybe to start in Canada, and then in the United States, for the American government to seize the federal system, which is probably the biggest, what's a good word for it, the biggest robbery, absolute robbery in the history of recorded history, amounting to trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars at the expense of the American people. And now is the time to do it. So as they have a transition time down there, they've got problems that they have to solve, but they have to solve them in cooperation. They have to get together and say, look, forget the midterm elections and let's solve the real problems, which are in the monetary fund, which are in geoengineering, where they're dropping poison, nanoparticles of aluminum and barium and strontium and so on our heads, and poisoning the air we breathe and the water we drink and the soil where we grow our food, and also to in the states of in respect of U.S. to recover control of their government from the Nazis, who took control decades ago, and who have plans for the United States and elsewhere that are totally unacceptable. And in a word, it is to establish a new world order, which means a government of, by, and for the rich elite at the expense of the other people, and it is part of their plan to reduce the population of the world dramatically. And when I say dramatically, I mean dramatically. So these are the problems that our American friends should be addressing, and they should do it on a bilateral basis because they're not partisan problems. They're people problems, and that's what we're talking about, are people problems. And they've got to stop this chemtrail stuff of dropping poison on us every day from before sunrise to after sunset. These are the things that I would like to see them engage in. And believe me, it will take some work and some cooperation. Theoretically, it's the only hope. And now is the time to do something about it, but it has to be, they have to establish a bilateral commission in the Congress to look at what has been done to get the truth out and give an amnesty to people who will tell the truth, and then to act quickly to defund some of the United States Armed Forces because they are really the threat to the United States, whereas the Russians and the Chinese, in fact, are not. So that's the situation where we are now, sort of summed up in a little short speech.
Well, one prized possession that I have staring down on me is a Dominion of Canada banknote from a day when Canada did create its own money. And in my drawer, I've got four $2 silver certificates from the United States of America when a short-lived program was around where Treasury notes were printed. And even as a child, I got those notes out of the family business. We lived near the border, and they were just different than the other kind. And even though I knew nothing about money and banking, you know, I had these other notes that said Federal Reserve notes, and I had these ones that said silver certificate. Well, I spent the other ones on candy, but I kept those ones. And
Did you ever have any shin plasters?
Did I have?
Shin plasters.
No.
Or 25-cent bills.
Oh,
we issued them here in Canada. I've got two or three of them in my little collection.
I remember seeing those in a coin guidebook. Yes, 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 yes. But the other big thing for people is to try to get our governments to move would probably be akin to trying to move Everest. So it's going to take a lot of perseverance, prayer, and determination. But there was a Power Hour caller a long, long time ago. I remember her very well. Don't remember her name. Because she just said one of the most important things for you to be is your own bank. And whatever her name was, it was Bank of That. And for me, it's Bank of George, where you have to start thinking about having reserves for yourself to survive the storm at the very least. And I think a lot of listeners here understand that and know that, because we can't depend on these other people. They aren't the same anymore. When I was a younger man, when you wrote honorable men like Paul Hellyer, I was too young for when he was in office, but you got an answer back. You could actually discuss things with him. So even the generation after him, I had many long discussions with Joe Clark and Jean Charest when he was head of the Conservative Party here in Canada, and people of that time period. John Turner, when he was former Prime Minister, we used to exchange a lot of letters on banking and trade and such like that. They were approachable. This new generation is roboticized to a degree where I guess they think they're our masters and not our representatives. It's a very big change. Anyway, we're coming up for a break. We'll see you on the other side of the commercials. This is Power Hour Nation. Joining us, Paul Hellyer, former Canadian Defense Minister, bon vivant, an all-around good guy. We'll see you on the other side.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Hard Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Hard Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. Or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Kirkman by calling 877-817-9829 or order at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Welcome back, Power Hour Nation. I'm your guest host from Canada, George Froehling. Joining us, Canada's former defense minister, author, historian, and a connection with the past that many of us discard and walk away from because we think we have answers. We are so blessed that someone from a generation before we would generally have access to anymore is lucid, here with us, an activist. I met another Canadian many years ago, too, when I participated in some of these economic issues to learn about these things. And I was wholeheartedly interested in learning because I dropped out of university when I took economics because, you know, it was just borrow money forever, never pay it back, everything's going to be fine. And I just go, you know, that doesn't make any sense. And I don't care how much calculus I learned, nothing's ever going to make sense of that. And there had to be another way, and I found that way. And one of the great authors wrote a book called The Bank of Canada, Power Unto Itself, William Krem. And I had the fortune and honor of meeting him once at a conference put on by a group in Canada called Comer. And, you just feel good. He lived to 105, you know, and I'm hoping Paul's got a good few strong years left in him, too, to help us through this maze. Because he is a direct connect to that era, that time, and we're losing so many of them so quickly. And for that,
George, it might interest you to know that Bill Krem was one of the 40 people that endorsed the system that we presented to the government that I've been describing.
Oh, indeed. And I've done the same thing independently in Ontario when Ernie Eves was premier, because he used to be the treasurer at one point. And, I just said, hey, I was still in my learning curve, but I said, you know, at that time, you know, the province could borrow 25% from the Bank of Canada, interest-free. How come you're not doing it? And he denied that that was possible. I sent him a copy of the Bank Act with the references to the pages I was referring to. And then I realized, well, when he came back to be premier, he came from Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse was paying $1 million a year U.S., and we weren't. So he was dancing to the music of another piper. I don't really think that people who serve at these levels should be able to go into private enterprise. It's like they're bribing them with a future job. And that's where I admire people like you. And one of my other great heroes to do things like that is Jimmy Carter, God bless him, is he devoted his life to public service after leaving the presidency, wasn't selling himself out to the highest bidder. And I saw him on the news once going into a war zone as a representative, probably for the United Nations, to look into war crimes, and I believe it was Chechnya at the time or somewhere around there. And I couldn't believe him. And I'm just hero worship. He's got two or three bodyguards. There's a road closed with the army blocking the road. The city in the background is on fire, you know, and it's whole-scale war. And these guys are blocking his path with arms. And Jimmy Carter just pushes the guy out of the way and says, I'm going in there to do my job. And I just go, wow, wow. So they know they can't shoot him because he was a president of the United States, and that would really be an ugly incident. But I just want, there is faith, there is courage, there is a level of decency that we need in politics at any time, in any era. And say what you will about Jimmy Carter and his term or anything like that, you stand on a road standing before an army, all armed to the teeth with AK-47s, and dare to push a soldier out of the way to go and look after human rights. And I just said, God bless you. And, you know, the world has been notably served by you. And when I look at other former presidents, it's just like there's a contest to get at the cash register. Wherever they go for whatever they do, whether it's to charge money or to monitor or take care of money, like in Haiti, you know, I just look at it as grand larceny, I guess is the appropriate American term. But not Jimmy Carter and not our guest Paul Hellyer either. He's devoted to a life of service for all of us. Don't let the border stand in your way. These problems are systemic in every nation of the world. We're all debt slaves to this. And we are all being taken over in this secret war by the Nazis. That is no joke. The British government arrested plotters way back on January the 15th, 1953, and there was an announcement from 10 Downing Street because they had tons of written material seized at that time. And they were to use democracy as a facade until the circumstances are necessary and profitable to take over the apparatus of the state. Let the head of state serve as a figurehead, conquer existing political parties by infiltration and consolidation at the appropriate time. You mentioned the Red House incident in your book. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Which house?
The Red House. That's where they met to conquer the world. And I think there was a report called the Red House Report written after that, where the German industrialist politicians and everything got together about 1944, and I believe it was in France, to discuss how they were going to fight the war after the war.
Yeah, it comes back to me. Some things that are happening now are equally or more, conclusive. Here's something from the New York Times, July 11th and 12th of this year. Finding an enemy within. Far-right infiltrates German military and police forces. So that this is widespread. And one of the most interesting things I've done this last week was to watch a German film of the submarine that went to Antarctica in 1939 to establish the Nazi base in Antarctica, and that has been operating ever since. And the headquarters now for the Nazi space fleet. And it was interesting to see how far back it went, because I had thought that the Germans only began to build the, what they call the New Schwabenland, there, the New Berlin, when they realized they were going to lose the Second World War. But no, they were actually starting on it about 1939, and building it all the time that the war was on. And then at the end of the war, a whole raft of submarines were missing, and that's where they went. And then, of course, when the United States found out about the base, which they were quite aware of, the Secretary of Defense sent this whole armada down there to take it over. But when we got there, and it was a huge armada, I think I was looking at it this morning, seven or eight ships, including an aircraft carrier, a number of aircraft and Marines, and they got there and they thought they were going to be able to take over the Nazi base in no time flat. And a couple of flying saucers came up out of the ocean, sank one of the ships, and killed a number of men, and they were driven back. And this all happened back in the early around 1946. That's when the Operation High Jump began, and it ended almost, within a matter of months. And Admiral Byrd, who was in charge of it, was absolutely livid and wanted to, quote, nuke them and take them out of existence. But by the time he got back to the United States, the Nazis from Operation Paperclip were sufficiently in command of the United States Armed Forces that nothing was ever done. And they've been working to prepare for what we now call the Fourth Reich ever since. And the two, the secret groups in Germany and the ones at the Antarctic base and the ones on their alleged new base on Mars, which has been there for a number of years, and the American Space Command, as it now is, are all working in harmony. And we've got to do something about it. And what I have suggested is that the next American Congress defund that part of the United States military. They cut the defense expenditures by 50% and then defund the space group and wind up the CIA and cut out this business of dropping stuff on us and that makes us sick and affects our ability to survive Alzheimer's and Lou Gehrig and so on, and do it before it's too late, because there's nothing that can be done militarily. The power is too great. So the only opportunity that they have is to cut off the money. And if they do that, I think, and if they do it right away, it might work. But it requires Republicans and Democrats, if not shaking hands, at least bending the saying this is either make it or break it, and we better get together and see what we can do together before it's too late.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Part of it is the responsibility of we the people, too, because it said very clearly that they were going to put people into power that were their vassals. And that is a very, very common strategy of the Nazis. Mr. Goebbels said, we enter parliament in order to supply ourselves in the arsenal of democracy with its own weapons. If democracy is so stupid as to give us free tickets and salaries for this bear's work, that is its affair. We do not come as friends, nor even as neutrals. We come as enemies. As the wolf bursts into the flock, so we come. And that's where it's incumbent upon people to understand the great depth of the issues that face the world, including the infiltration of Nazis, what's really going on in Antarctica. It is completely secret. You can't go there without government permission. You're just not going to pack up and go on a little tourist escapade. I remember reading about some young men from Norway had a sailboat, and they tried to sail into forbidden waters down there. And they were all arrested because they didn't have permission. And there's things down there that you're not supposed to see. And Admiral Byrd saw those things. He speaks about them. He was printed in papers in Spanish in South America that never really got juice in English in the rest of the free world. But it's very, very important that you understand something is going on there, something happened there. I have the films on Neuschwabenland archived on my website, conspiracy-cafe.com. They're on YouTube. I made copies in case they disappear. And these were lost films that were found in an antique shop in Germany that never got destroyed. And when you see what's underground there and you look at the dynamics of the model city that Hitler's looking at, the fact that they have these giant Tesla generators, for lack of a better word, to power the thing, and when you know the secret weapons and history of that era, it is mind-boggling. Like, we made flying saucers here in Malton after the war at our air plants, and there's videos of rudimentary ones skirting above the air a little bit, but the technology was there. In Argentina, they had a big thing called the Nazi Bell, and Mr. Perón was very big on helping Nazis get out of Europe, helping the money get laundered properly to everyone's benefit, but also to make sure the technology was there for them to use and subvert against us. And as we step into this new era, we are at war with this technology. It is very clearly being weaponized to be used against us, and it doesn't take too much of a leap to understand that AI is a force, a very big force, coming upon us. And they have plans for our bodies. Ray Kurzweil talked about that, that we will be probably significantly robotic by 2030, and that is a loss of your ultimate sovereignty, the sovereignty of your soul. They speak openly about loading you into the cloud, and when you read scripture, I read it now looking at the technology we have, that things I read in the past were meaningless compared to what I read now. When I talk about hear about new this or new that, thinking, oh, wow, you know, Jesus rises into the cloud. It isn't a billowy white cloud. It's the Microsoft-type cloud where our souls, entities have been captured and stored, and he frees the dead trapped in the cloud because we'll be dead, separated from God, separated from our bodies. That's the ultimate level of debauchery that these entities are probably working with. And it's something we've got to sharpen our pencils, as my grandfather used to say, and start getting aware of these issues before we give someone the keys to the store. And
and if it's not too late, and it's not too late as long as we still do something and just don't sit on our couches, you know, and do nothing. That's the problem, and you couldn't have stated it more clearly, I don't think.
Well, one thing I know is there is power in connection, and that's why this is Power Hour. And as my father always used to say, there's always some young fella somewhere who's just on the verge of coming up with something, or, you know, having a new idea on something that you just can't hold back. He's just the seed waiting for the sunlight and the water, and boom, they sprout, and they'll have the answer to something that may confuddle us. But, you know, I'm optimistic that by word of mouth, things will get along. And I've seen that when MH370 went down. You know, I just did small alternative media things. But one day the good Lord just said, look who's watching. Let's watch it now, because on your page you could see who. And, you know, because it was like now as opposed to the month statistics or the week. I had a big cluster from Diego Garcia. And of all the places to be in the Indian Ocean when a plane disappears, that's the place to be. And so who knows, you know, what military people or defense contractors were listening in then at that time, and maybe try to have some sort of positive influence down the road. We can only hope and pray
One interesting connection we haven't made, we've skirted around it, and that is the connection between money and all that's been happening. And this Bank for International Settlements was really dominated by the banking cartel. During World War II, they financed both sides, but they financed, especially the Rothschilds, financed the Nazis before, during, and after the war. And this huge, almost, well, one of the Fed banks said recently the Fed system can make an infinite amount of money. And one has to assume that they have provided the forces that have made the Space Force with trillions of dollars available to do what they've been doing in the last 50 years. And that's the reason why we have to change the system and have to change it right away and take away the power from the Bank of International Settlements. I have recommended, doing away with it totally, but certainly and replacing it with something very different. That's all in my various books. But to allow them to continue to have more power than the President of the United States is just absolute insanity. And I would say that if we don't move on that front, that we're missing the boat strategically, and we should get at it when we can.
Oh, indeed. I always like to bring up Marshall McLuhan, the great Canadian media scientist. And, you know, there's a short, concise blog about him on my blog page on the title part so that you can always find it. It is imperative that you understand the information war that we are in. And he said very, very clearly in his day, World War III will be a guerrilla information war with no distinction between military and civilian participation. If you're breathing, you better be participating, because this control of thought, of ideas, is overwhelming. You have to resist things that are put into your head for no other reason that you're just too lazy to do any research or to study them. Jesus said very, very clearly, we die for lack of knowledge. We better get that knowledge lest we die. It's very, very important. Teach your children well about having a taste for this knowledge. To me, it's a power source to know something I didn't know before. And I was slow to come along, too, to know that we financed the Third Reich. So as soon as that started to hit me, well, first there's a little bit of, ooh, you know, I had to get my sea legs back, so to speak. But then once I realized that, I doggedly looked into it. There was a very rich man. His name was Detterding. He was with Royal Dutch Shell. He financed the Nazis to a great extent. And then one of the heads of the Bank of England also gave him, like Hitler, a very large campaign contribution for when he was first elected. And it's just phenomenal, the money from the corporate elements, not just German corporate elements, but American ones. The whole raison d'etre for the Dulles brothers and their company in New York was to finance and put Hitler into power. And Allen worked slavishly in Switzerland through the war, controlling the money, the financing, the banking, the intelligence. They pretty much ruled the world, and we have to look at what John Kennedy did to them and how he stood up against them, and his unfortunate demise was terrible, but that was probably the closest we ever came to overturning the apple cart. And, you know, God bless him for trying, because that is still upon us as a yoke around our necks, that when he said to smash the CIA, Mr. Hellyer's in there too. We have no idea what's in there, except for one thing, evil. And I'm very, very concerned about the death of a great American too, James Forrestal, because he was a secretary back then in the days of these missions to Antarctica, knowing what the truth is about the aliens, super technology, the Third Reich. And they say he went mad and that he had to be committed to some sort of psychiatric institution, which was the presidential suite at Bethesda Naval Hospital. And the day before his family could get him out, they say he jumped to his death. And I don't believe that. I was very fortunate to find a book on him at a church sale had almost forgot. It was a miracle. It was just like, oh, no, the church sale. I only got 15 minutes to get there. They go storming through the door as they're packing up, and the lady says, oh, whatever you find, we don't have to carry out. And my book on James Forrestal's there waiting for me with newspaper accounts from the day. There were scratch marks on the window frame.
It is my belief that he did not commit suicide, as indicated in the official reports that you're dead on, that he was, a couple of men in black helped him out.
Indeed,
one more connection, and that is the press. Daniel Estulin, the author of the true story of the Bilderbergers, in a second book listed all of the ownership of and control of the English language press, both print and electronic, and showed that every single one of those was either owned by or controlled by a Bilderberger. And consequently, when somebody asks, why don't we know about this? The answer is because the people who give you your news filter it and don't tell you the truth. They give you false news, and they don't tell you what has been happening, and they only feed you what they want you to know. And consequently, in this sentence I have in two books, the actual government of the United States, which was the shadow government, didn't tell the truth about anything of significance from 1947, July, on the crash at Roswell, until the 2017, when they told the truth about the Russian interference in the election.
Okay, we're coming up for a break. If you're good to stay on another segment, we'd be glad to have you and light up the sky with truth.
Yeah.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.